You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. I'm also the co-editor of Dunking with Wolves, the Minnesota Timberwolves site on the Fansided Network. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Hopefully you're having a great week so far. Hopefully you enjoyed Game 6 of Rockets Thunder. Chris Paul was awesome in the fourth quarter. There is a Game 7 this week, so that'll be a lot of fun. Today on the show, I want to talk about a couple of different things. There's some, light Wolves news off the top. More interest in David Vanterpool as a potential head coach. A couple of other notes from around the Timberwolves, blogosphere, Twitter sphere, if you will. And then also a little bit of a deeper dive was done on The Athletic by Sam Vecini. So I want to pull a couple of things. It's an extremely lengthy article. I'm sure it's many thousands of words long. It's the deepest dive I've seen into the Wolves offseason. So I want to pull a couple of pieces out of that and talk a bit more about it. Before we get to that, first, a quick reminder to subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google, wherever you get your podcasts, and follow us on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. All right, so I guess a couple of quick Wolves-related notes off the top. Of course, David Vanterpool is the Wolves' fantastic associate head coach. Every time you read any note about David Vanterpool, everybody talks about how awesome he was in Portland. And actually, there's a big piece of the Vecini article that talks about Vanterpool and potential for the Wolves' defensive scheme based on what he did in Portland. So we'll get more into that later. But the work he did in Portland, the relationships he built with players, of course, CJ McCollum, Damian Lillard, others. And he was apparently the runner-up to the Wolves head coaching job and yet still accepted the associate head coach and defensive coordinator position under Ryan Saunders, who, of course, won that competition for the Wolves head coaching job. So Vanterpool is a candidate for the Chicago Bulls. We knew that previously, but it was mentioned again by Adrian Wojnarowski at ESPN. Others that the Bulls will be interviewing include Kenny Atkinson, of course, the former Nets coach who was unceremoniously fired midseason this year. The Sixers assistant, Emi Udoka, the Nuggets assistant, Wes Unseld Jr., Darvin Ham, currently a Bucks assistant, Steven Silas from the Mavericks, and David Vanterpool, as well as some other assistants currently on the Bulls staff. Of course, they fired Jim Boylan just a couple of weeks ago, really right at the end of the Delete Eight, the Orlando bubble, the non-playoff teams in the Orlando bubble. They announced the firing of Boylan. So with the new front office in Chicago, who knows what that means? Who knows if Vanterpool, I'm sure the Wolves will allow him to interview. That doesn't seem like the sort of thing that Gerson Rosas would stand in the way of. But and I'm sure that the Wolves in hiring Vanterpool knew that he was going to continue to be a hot commodity on the coaching circuit and teams are going to want to talk to him. But here's hoping that he sticks around for another year or two, because as we'll talk about in a little bit, the Wolves need Vanterpool and his expertise when it comes to the defensive end of the floor if they're going to make their current roster work from a defensive perspective as they continue to acquire these players who are obviously offensive minded and don't show much interest on defense, at least to this point. So at any rate, Vanterpool continues to be a candidate out there, and it'll be interesting to see where that goes. Another Timberwolves note that I didn't mention on the top of the show, but I intended to talk about, was that the Wolves continue to increase their presence in the local community in the wake of the continued racial injustices in this country. Obviously, the highly talked about and deservedly so issues of the death of George Floyd back at the end of May, and then more recently Jacob Blake in Kenosha, Wisconsin. And the Wolves are really following through, and I think a number of NBA teams are, and that was part of the agreement on the ownership level and on the NBA executive or the front office or the NBA league office, I should say, level, especially in losing games last week to boycotts Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And the league agreed to make sure that they take action. And each team is doing that now as well. And there's many teams that are opening their arenas open as polling locations in November. What the Timberwolves are doing is they've announced an initiative called Pack the Vote. They've actually got a dedicated landing page on their website for it. And what it's all about is exactly what it sounds like. They are trying to increase voter participation in the Twin Cities. That includes registration, including making sure folks are filling out the 2020 census, voter education in terms of understanding more about the candidates and the issues, and then also turnout for the election on November 3rd. And the Wolves are partnering with a number of local organizations, nonprofits, nonpartisan groups. The groups that they list on the website are called When We All Vote, I Am a Voter, Rally the Vote, and Rise to Vote. And then they're also working closely with the Minnesota Secretary of State, Steve Simon, to make sure that they're providing these volunteer opportunities for employees in the state of Minnesota. So I think it's really great that the Timberwolves are doing this, that they're actually following through. And not that they haven't. The Wolves have always been a good community partner, but it's easy to say the right things. And the Wolves aren't alone in this, but organizations, sports franchises, businesses do this all the time. But to really, to use a phrase that doesn't necessarily fit here, but you get the point, to put their money where their mouth is and to really follow through and work with players. There's plenty of, they put together a video that includes Jake Layman, other players talking about this initiative and why it's so important. Players from the Lynx as well. And, you know, T-Wolves Gaming is involved. Obviously the Iowa Wolves are involved in this, in the Wolves, you know, group of teams, I guess. And then Ethan Casson, the Wolves CEO, is heavily involved. Gerson Rosas, of course, Ryan Saunders speaks out. He's included on the video. And it's really great to see the Timberwolves being front and center on this issue locally in the Twin Cities. No doubt the players are taking note. It matters to them, and it should matter to the Minneapolis community as well. So kudos to the Timberwolves for doing that, for really following through. And we'll keep an eye on how that progresses here in the coming weeks and months. All right, next I want to get into the Sam Vecenie article over at The Athletic. It's really in-depth and really good. There's some interesting new trade possibilities he floats. He also gives some thoughts on the Wolves draft picks, not only number one, but also 17 and 33. So I want to get into that next year as well. First, a note from our friends at Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible to stock all the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person at the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand that their warehouse happens to carry? You have a computer with access to rockauto.com, both at home and in your pocket. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers, but rockauto.com's prices are the same for everybody, and they're reliably low. rockauto.com always offers the lowest prices possible, rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear like airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody and does not require membership or account login. It's a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. Go to RockAuto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Again, write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. All right, let's dig into Sam Vecenie's analysis of the Timberwolves situation, their roster, their outlook related to salary cap, the offseason, the draft, all that on The Athletic. Again, this is just a massive article that he's apparently doing with a number of teams, and really an impressive deep dive. And frankly, my hesitation with these national writers that cover multiple teams doing these dives is they a lot of times don't truly understand the fit of certain players or the attitude because they haven't spoken to general managers or coaches with the team, or they haven't spent any time at least even reading the quotes or what they've been saying about these players. But this is actually a really impressive job by Vecenie. And I think he hits the nail on the head in a number of places and even mentioned some things that I hadn't really considered myself. So let's first start with the draft piece before we get into, he does mention some potential trade targets for the Wolves for James Johnson's expiring contract, et cetera. So we'll get into that shortly. But first let's talk about the draft. So he lists, and I can't really say much verbatim also because this is a subscription piece. So if you do have an Athletic subscription, go check it out. It's really, really good. But I will hit some high points. I think that will be just fine. So the six options he gives at number one, of course, the number one option is trading. And he gives all the reasons we've talked about extensively on this show, which is basically there isn't a number one pick. The value there isn't a guy who's going to fit this team perfectly. There's going to be more value in trading back, maybe even trading out, because remember, the Wolves don't have a pick in 2021. In fact, a first round pick, Vecenie actually opens the article by somewhat criticizing Rosas for making things tougher on himself by some of the choices he's made. He alludes to giving up the 2021 pick in the Russell trade, acquiring Russell, basically forcing his own hand to accelerate a timeline a little bit. And then also, basically, I mean, you're accelerating the timeline, you're also ticking the clock on Towns a little bit further. Of course, nobody saw the end of the season coming with the pandemic, or at least the Wolves' end of the season, far enough in advance. Because, I mean, again, the restricted free agency situation is complicated with Malik Beasley and Juancho Hernan Gomez, and the Wolves didn't have adequate time to evaluate their fits because of the end of the season. So he criticizes them a little bit, but also says that they weren't necessarily bad choices, just choices that put the Wolves in a little bit of a tougher position because they're continuously, really they're making the expectations higher for their own team, which I think is a good thing. So anyways, when it comes to the draft, he talks about trading back as the ideal scenario and that other GMs around the league, other front offices around the league think that the Wolves will trade back because of just value. They can get more value if they pick up more picks, if they get a 2021 first rounder, if they move back and get a quality player in the, you know, 3, 4, 5 to 10 range in the draft as well. The number two thing that he has for the Wolves to do at number one is draft LaMelo Ball, which I am on the record as saying I think the Wolves should do, and I think they will do if they can't find a trade to their liking. And I mean, Vecini's thinking lines up perfectly with what I've articulated in the last crossover mock draft we did, the Delete 8 mock draft 3.0 with other hosts here on the Lockdown NBA Network. Basically that, yeah, there's a lot of duplication and overlap between LaMelo Ball and D'Angelo Russell. And yeah, they're both poor defenders. And also Ball's not a very good shooter, but it's not a bad thing to have two ball handlers. Ball's easily the best player in this draft. And Vecini says he's got him in a tier by himself, which again, doesn't mean he's going to be a superstar, a top 5-10 player in the league even, but you know, his ceiling's probably an all-star. And how many guys in this draft have ceilings of being a surefire all-star? If Ball hits his ceiling, he will be an all-star. I think that that's fair to say. And so again, because Rosas believes in value as the most important thing, he's more likely to take the best player available, who he deems the best player available, see if the fit works. And if it doesn't, trade him or trade somebody else. And it will work. Ball would work with D'Angelo Russell. It's not the most synergistic fit, but it's not a bad thing to have two ball handlers, to have two creators, to have two far above average playmakers in today's NBA. And so that's what he sees as the best fit. He talks about Edwards, the concern about his defensive, I guess, lack of interest on defense and pairing him with the unenergetic defenders in D'Angelo Russell and Karl Anthony Towns. Interestingly enough, he mentions Onyeka Okongwu as the number four option for the Wolves. He does acknowledge that drafting him at one really shouldn't be an option. And frankly, it won't be because, again, Rosas is always thinking in terms of value. And if you can trade back and get Okongwu at 3 or 5 or 6, why would you not trade back, pick up an asset, and still draft him? He says if the Wolves do that, he thinks he's a perfect fit. I've been hesitant on the fit just because I think offensively it could be a little clunky, but he would improve the Wolves' defense immediately, and I think that's fascinating. And he also talks about he doesn't think the comparison to Miami's Bam Adebayo is all that accurate either, which I think is interesting. So really kind of a fascinating option there, I think, Okongwu in a trade back. He talks about Obi Toppin as an option. You know, we've talked about him pretty extensively. And then also Denny Avdija, again, probably a trade back for a guy like Avdija, or for Toppin for that matter. He compares Avdija to a more athletic Dario Saric, who's better defensively. And I think clearly the Wolves front office, including, I guess the Saric trade was pre-Rosas, but the Wolves front office probably sees that sort of a player as a good fit. In some ways, Hernan Gomez is a better shooting, more athletic Saric. He's a little bit less of a playmaker than Saric is supposed to be. But, you know, Denny Avdija is an intriguing option as well if the Wolves were to trade back. The other draft note, or the other draft piece I'll mention, is he talks about a bunch of guys at number 17 as possibilities, the trio of 3-and-D type wings that we've talked about here that probably won't be there at 17, but could be if they're able to trade up or if any of them fall. And that's Devin Vassell out of Florida State, Sadiq Bey out of Villanova, and Aaron Nesmith of Vanderbilt. All three of those guys are going to likely be above average 3-point shooters from day one, and on various levels have the size and defensive ability to plug into an NBA rotation right now, and are more of a prototypical 3-and-D guy than say Josh Okogie, who has the defensive side down but isn't a 3-point shooter, or Jarrett Culver, who's okay as a defender and as a playmaker, but doesn't have the shooting piece of it down or the efficient scoring piece of it. The Wolves don't have a traditional 3-and-D guy on the roster, as shocking as that may sound. Malik Beasley's not a defender. Jake Lehman is you know, he's average at both, but he's still more of a four than a true three and D wing. They don't really have that guy. And so if any of those guys are there at 17, then they should be options. He mentions a couple of other guys who are more big men, Patrick Williams, Jalen Smith as options. And then he also gets into to the second round, and I don't want to spend too much time on that, but he lists five guys who could be on the board at 33 for the Wolves. And I think that's extremely interesting. The article goes on to do a deep dive into building around Towns and Russell, so I'll leave that to your reading. Vecini doesn't really uncover anything groundbreaking here. Obviously, we know the shortcomings of Towns and Russell. And the one note that I did want to highlight, I alluded to earlier, was the discussion surrounding the Wolves' defense and David Vanterpool and the job he did in Portland. And I think the most interesting part of this entire article is the analysis of the job that Vanterpool did in Portland compared to what he's going to be tasked with doing in Minnesota. Basically, he convinced Damian Lillard to be a solid defender when it comes to fighting through screens, guarding the pick and roll. He also had some personnel that was good for the drop coverage that they played where, for instance, Zach Collins is a mobile big. You know, in some ways, I think the Wolves are thinking, you know, Jake Lehman, Juancho Hernan Gomez, they can kind of recreate some of that defensively. I don't know to that level. Talks a little bit about Milwaukee's defense and how they guard the pick and roll and how they basically you need guards that try. And if they can convince Russell to try defensively, he may have some of the athletic limitations to not really make the scheme work, you know, to perfection. Limitations that Lillard doesn't have, but he does have greater size. And so the combination of size and know-how and trying is going to make a huge difference for the Wolves. Towns, both athletically and in terms of his effort level, should be able to do what Vanterpool wants him to do in the scheme. Last year, we did see all too often Towns was dropping too far in the drop coverage and was, you know, the idea is to allow to funnel opposing guards into tough mid-range shots, not easy mid-range shots, because a shot at the elbow for Kyrie Irving, or when the Wolves played the Warriors early in the season, D'Angelo Russell, that's virtually a layup for those guys. Whereas a contested or semi-contested mid-range shot is much preferable to an open three-pointer if you drop too far, or if you go under the screen, or ushering them into the paint, which is occasionally what Towns was doing. So a really interesting breakdown of what Vanterpool is going to be tasked with. And another reason why I really hope the Wolves get at least one, if not two more years out of Vanterpool as an associate head coach in Minnesota, because what he did in Portland, bringing them from a poor defense with an undersized backcourt to that same essentially grouping of personnel, adding in Zach Collins and some other guys who improved the defense, but still with McCollum and Lillard, and made them an average defense and even above average for about a season and a half there. They were a top half of the league defense, and combined with that potent offense, that got them to the conference finals, you know, just last season, but competitive in the playoffs virtually every year. So that's a really interesting piece of the article. It's in the first portion of it. The other piece I want to talk about is the possibility for trades. So that's how I want to finish the show today, is talking about some of the potential trade options out there for the Timberwolves. Before we talk about potential trades for the Wolves for James Johnson's contract, I should say that Vecini does actually break down the entire roster and give his opinions on basically the rest of, you could say, I guess the rest of the core, whether that be Josh Okogie and Jarrett Culver, some of the younger guys who could have some value and may stick around as fringe rotation players, Naz Reid, Jake Lehman, Jalen Noel, Jordan McLaughlin, Jared Vanderbilt, guys like that. So be sure to read that. It's pretty interesting. He also dives a little bit into the salary cap situation, the restricted free agency of Beasley and Hernan Gomez. That's probably a conversation for another day. But I think today I want to talk about some of these questions related to what teams are out there that they could acquire. Vecini lists a few guys who we've talked about as possibilities. Basically, he says, like, a Zach LaVine or Buddy Hield doesn't really move the needle. Do you really want to trade the number one pick and a salary like James Johnson's for that? He talks about Caris LeVert. I mentioned him the other day on the show. I don't love that fit. And for the same reason Vecini mentions lack of shooting, Lauri Markkanen's interesting. But again, defense is the concern. Danilo Gallinari is one that my co-editor at Dunking with Wolves brought up the other day as a possibility. Dylan Jackson. So you can head over there to read that. His take on a Danilo Gallinari sign and trade. Again, defensive concerns there. Davis Bertans, who's in Washington this year and had an awesome year shooting the ball. Similar concerns. Otto Porter Jr. I brought him up a week or so ago as a player that I love, and I love the fit with Towns and Russell, but at his current contract extension, not realistic, or at least not something the Wolves should realistically consider. He also mentions the sign-in trade with the Warriors that I lambasted, I guess you could say, on the Monday show this week that was proposed over at Bleacher Report of the Wolves trading James Johnson into the Warriors trade exception. And the part that I didn't like about this was basically the only compensation the Wolves would get was a heavily protected future second round pick. And that makes no sense because, again, the Wolves could, I mean, there's how many other options with the Johnson contract? Why would the Wolves just trade him into an exception and pick up virtually nothing? And Vecini recognizes that for Minnesota, says it should be a last resort and they should be able to get draft compensation for it. So that's how I would view this too. I mean, if they can't move the contract in any other fashion, then come back to Golden State, acquire something, not a heavily protected second rounder in 3 years, but something more tangible from Golden State. And then that's your, you know, you at least create some cap space in that way. But I don't see that as a first option for the Wolves. The one guy that he mentions that I've kind of, I don't love the fit, and this is the one thing I guess that Vecini and I disagree with a little bit, is he talks about Jrue Holiday as a as an option for the Wolves in a trade with New Orleans. Now, remember, Holiday's only got one more year left on his deal. He's somebody that was mentioned, I think this was a Bobby Marks mention on the Doogie Wolfson podcast last week that we broke down a little bit further here, as somebody who's on an expiring deal and could be had potentially. But I don't, unless you know for sure that he's going to resign, you don't give up an asset like the number one pick. And I also, I know he's a good defender. He's certainly, and I unfavorably compared the fit to a LaMelo Ball fit the other day. And to be fair to Jrue Holiday, he's a better defender than LaMelo Ball. There's no question about that. But I just don't love the fit offensively from a versatility standpoint. I get that both he and Russell could kind of interchangeably play the one and two, but I just think there's better options out there. There's guys who could be with the team longer, whether it be a guy like John Collins, who you're going to extend. I've talked about him a lot, whether it be even Lauri Markkanen, I think fits what they're trying to do a little bit better. I just don't love a Holiday Russell backcourt if you have other options. If that's the best option out there, it certainly would work, but I fear that it becomes a one-year rental. Holiday's not going to opt into his player option in Minnesota when he basically has one more shot at getting a multi-year deal in his prime. So I just don't see that as a realistic trade option for the Wolves. And I don't think that's going to be too high up on Gerson Rosas's board of options either, given some of the other possibilities that should be out there. So that's the last thing I want to cover on the Vecini article today. I think we can dive back into the restricted free agency stuff again later. We've spent quite a bit of time on that this summer, although the Wolves are getting to be, you know, at least closer to decision time there. So we can dive back into that later. Later this week, we are going to have the crossover podcast that I've been promising now for a few days with the hosts of Locked On Warriors and Locked On Hornets. We will look at draft picks 1, 2, and 3 in the draft. And we will be posting that crossover episode later in the week. So look forward to that. I'll further go into my reasoning for selecting who I will be selecting at number one. And then we'll also hear who the Locked On Hornets and Locked On Warriors hosts will be drafting at their respective draft slots as well. All right, that's all we have for you today here at Locked On Wolves. Thanks once again for listening to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on the biggest stories. Subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google, wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.